Shalom Layudim, Shalom Lebnei Noach, Shalom Goyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Kaf Beis, Be'Malchishvan, Parashas Chayesara, Tavshin Ayin Vav, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 3 November 2015, webcasting from the old new land of Theodor Herzl, who knew nothing of this land, thank God. Surely it was the Almighty's plan to drive Herzl on his mission, he who had no knowledge of this country, of Islam, of Islam's feelings about Jews. Had he known any of that history, I doubt he would have launched his crusade. The Lord needed ignoramus. To read Herzl's fantasy novel of the state of the Jews he foresaw 20 years after its peaceful birth, and to then read the news here today in Israel is to see how far off the mark Herzl was. He who post-Jewish Israelis continue to celebrate as the father of this country, he who merits a special memorial day. Herzl did not imagine that 67 years after the emergence of his imaginary state, the Goyim here would be daily plunging knives into the backs of Jews, and most important, doing so at random. For sure, he never imagined that the knifers would also be bent on suicide in the name of Allah. Yesterday, another Muslim, a fire with Hamas, which means religious zeal, committed the holy act of plunging a knife into the back of an 80-year-old Jewish woman. Herzl never conceived of such an act of piety, at leastwise in the fever swamps of Muslim brains. It happened in Rishon LeZion, meaning first in Zion, established by idealistic Jews in 1882, fleeing from Russia, following the massacres there, following the assassination of the Tsar, for which, of course, the Jews were blamed. This happened a dozen years before Herzl jumped on the bandwagon of those who believe Jews had to flee the European diaspora and its horrible violence and return to their ancient homeland to restore it to vitality where they would be safe. Also yesterday, a 71-year-old Jewish man was stabbed in the back by a very religious goy for religious reasons. But Israelis, for the special circumstances of growing up in a cocoon of only Jewish neighbors, and Herzl's highly deficient theory, they have yet to accept that the Jewish people, by restoring Zion and returning home, have leapt from the frying pan into the fire. They have yet to accept that the Arabs here, our neighbors, are at least as crazy in their heads about Jews as Germans and other Europeans were last century, and really for many centuries. Today, in a Jerusalem courtroom, a 15-year-old Ishmaelite boy and his friend, a 17-year-old Ishmaelite boy, were indicted for plotting the murder of Jews at random. These are two Arabs from Atul, which is a village perched on the Mount of Olives, who descended into the Lower Arab section today where they had something to eat in a restaurant, then went into a computer store and played with the equipment, and then went into a hardware store to buy a serious knife and an axe. Then they went with their purchases in a bag to IDF Square at the end of Jaffa Street, near the Jaffa Gate into the old city, and they sat down on a bench and waited. Thank God, a policeman passed by, and something made him go over and check them out, and in the end, they were arrested, thank God, and indicted today for their dreams of homicide. Somewhere on the net yesterday, I saw a video out of Gaza of a smiling young man with a knife talking to others like him and asking each one, "How would you stab a Jew?" And each one, with a smile on his face, willingly pantomimed his technique for stabbing a Jew. These are our neighbors. And we have to rethink how to deal with them and with the world that, unlike 50 years ago, has turned against us. I'm thinking of the Six-Day War when Western liberals and leftists were with Israel. In 1967, the politically correct had yet to discover the role of the ancient Palestinian people in this violence, didn't know they existed. After all, in 1967, and for two decades, the King of Jordan, a direct descendant of Muhammad, did not know that the Arabs on the other side of the Jordan River, from where he ruled, were a different nation, entitled to their own state. He thought they were Jordanians and treated them as such. Yeah, he did not believe they were a very different people, entitled to a estate on the West Bank. And that, by the way, lowercase w, lowercase b, was the orthography in 1967. Last week as well, the United Nations Cultural, Educational, and Scientific Organization, UNESCO, in its Olympian wisdom in matters cultural, educational, and scientific, pronounced the cave of the Hebrew patriarchs and matriarchs to be the property of the sons of Ishmael, not Israel, not the Jews. The UN also said the tomb of Mother Rachel was really the tomb of a Muslim woman. Theodor Herzl, that educated, urbane journalist, never imagined such behavior. And then there was today's video of another male sneaking up upon a Jewish woman, a tour guide near Jaffa Gate, talking to her charges. These tour guides are real professionals, and they know their history, and so along came this large Arabian man behind her and smashed her on her head with a bottle, glass bottle, her intelligent, educated Jewish head. Which I can sort of understand. A savage like this is typically driven by a murderous envy of Jews for their superiority, their high level of culture. The freedom of this woman to walk around freely and make a living as a tour guide with no man escorting her. Her freedom enrages such Arab men, obviously to the point of homicide. You can't kill someone with a bottle like this, though I think this woman survived and now has a whopping headache. So what are we going to do? For sure, we have to rethink Zionism from the ground up, and that should result in the shedding of the Herzlian mindset, envisioning a community here of Jews and Arabs who live together in harmony, smiling at one another all the time. It hasn't worked out that way, and it's about time Israel stopped playing out the fantasy that peace is possible via civilized negotiations. Israel has to stop thinking there is some formula for surrendering some land, but not all the land the Arabs want, and reaching a peaceful compromise. Israelis are still in their dreaming mode, or if they are not, they act as if they are. I have in mind really the official line, even of Bibi. Yes, yes, he seems to say, we want a Palestinian state, but Mr. Abbas won't talk to us. All the while, the Goyim are badgering us to abandon Judea and Samaria because it does not belong to us, with Israel never ever rebutting, refuting, challenging this nasty piece of anti-Semitism. The proper reply to these accusations is that Judea and Samaria are legally and morally our property, and we have a right to live in them in peace and prosperity and under our own sovereign self-rule. But Israel never does that. Today there was another item about the EU on the verge of affixing labels to Israeli produce and products produced in Judea and Samaria, informing the prospective buyer that they were produced on land stolen by the dirty Jews, or words to that effect. This is a story again and again, and again Israel is mute in the face of this EU aggression, because the only proper riposte to the EU is claiming the land as rightfully ours and dismissing any so-called Palestinian claim as an anti-Semitic poison in a class with other lies told about Jews for thousands of years.
Oh,
Yeah, Herzl never imagined our situation in Israel today. We're surrounded on three sides by 550 million Muslims whose defining identity is rooted in the theft of Judaism. Islam is a word pointing back to the binding by Avraham of his son Yitzhak on the future Temple Mount. Only Islam claims that story is a lie. Ibrahim bound his son Ishmael, not Ishak. Surrounded by hundreds of millions of people whose brains are on fire with this mendacious Jew hatred. And not only that, they're backed by the seed of the very same Europeans few generations later that Herzl suffered anti-Semitism from. Like the first anti-Semites in the mid-19th century, they're post-Christian too, but like classical Christians, they are still steeped in Jew hatred, which today they exercise via labeling Jewish products as taboo, by funding NGOs, hundreds of them, that employ thousands of Arabs and who probably, and also hundreds of Jewish anti-Jewish Israelis, whose work is bashing Israel for the crime of crucifying, if no longer the man from Nazareth, than an archaic Arab people known throughout human history as the ancient Palestinians. Herzl never imagined this. Speaking of these anti-Semitic NGOs, on Sunday, Justice Ministress Ayelet Shaked submitted a bill requiring NGOs funded by foreign governments to advertise that, make public that they are. She said, quote, "The blatant intervention of foreign countries in the state of Israel's internal affairs through funding is an unprecedented, broadly occurring phenomenon that violates all the rules and norms of relations between democratic countries." Well, I'm not sure about that. It's part of the game of nations, particularly in matters of commerce. What is above average disgusting in this case is the support these Europeans and Americans and even Jewish Americans give to the Arabs, who are our mortal enemies with whom we are still in a state of war to the death. Our death, not theirs. This is not just about trade relations. That European governments and other NGOs back these Arab savages, these anti-Semitic homicidal barbarians against us is intolerable. As I say, today's Federica Mogherini types are doing what the great-grandparents did, only under a different set of lies. Predictably, in reply to Ayelet Shaked's bill being submitted, the head of the Meretz party in Israel, a Jewish anti-Jewess, Zahava Cologne, said that Shaked is declaring hunting season against human rights organizations. This, too, is a feature of contemporary life in the Jewish Commonwealth, brought back to life since Herzl's day, the disguising of naked, shameless Jew hatred as something else. Here is Zahava Galon defending today's anti-Jews in these NGOs by calling them human rights organizations. The dishonesty here is nauseating. The ultimate human right is to life. It's to be not murdered. And when one looks at the ledger of Jews murdered by Arabs and Arabs murdered by Jews, it's no contest as to who is the greater victim of the ultimate human rights crime. We are. If these NGOs were truly human rights organizations, they would devote most of their time not to defending Arabs from Jews, but Jews from Arabs. They're not human rights organizations. They are enemy propaganda organizations. As far as I know, they devote all their time and resources to human rights violations allegedly committed by Jews, and no time at all on such violations committed by Arabs. Israel's enemies today, and really throughout history, are liars when it comes to claims of crimes committed by us. It has happened in every generation. In ours, Mahmoud Abbas, 20 years ago, and Yasser Arafat were lying when they fooled such fools as Peres and Rabin into thinking they really had accepted Israel's right to exist. And all they really wanted was just the land taken in 1967. Liars, dissemblers. They're like Barack Hussein Obama, who repeatedly has said he would not let Iran have an atomic bomb, while his actions have revealed his true intent, which is the opposite. Last week, Abbas addressed the UN Human Rights Council, so-called, in Geneva, as if the corrupt regimes present cared about human rights, and referred to Israel's intolerable occupation that has gone on for 67 years. Not 48 years, but since Israel declared independence. In other words, he still does not accept Israel's right to exist. And thus, the entirety, and I mean the entirety of the so-called Oslo peace process, has been a lie for 22 years. Though Israel remains incapable of saying so. Israel continues to admire the emperor's new clothes that simply are not there. Recently, Abbas's advisor on Islamic affairs, who is no less the supreme Sharia judge for the PLO, Mahmoud al-Habash, in a Friday sermon, called Israel the handiwork of Satan. He called Jews evil. And that is what this conflict is all about. Good versus evil. For sure, this Islamic clown agrees with his colleague, the Grand Mufti, that there never was a Jewish temple on Haram al-Sharif. Israel keeps asking for civilized negotiations with these people and uses this aspiration, Israel's, as its primary defense in the realm of public diplomacy. Yes, yes, Israel wants negotiations in order to hand over a major part of the West Bank. But Mr. Abbas won't cooperate. So please, world, don't hate us. Don't slap sanctions on us. Enough, I say. Enough of the silence of the Jewish lambs when it comes to straight talk about our mortal enemies. These barbarians who applaud knifing old women and old men in the street at random just because they're Jews living free in their ancient homeland. Israel has to stand up and speak the truth that with such barbarians as Abbas, Israel will not deal. Israel has to unmask the essential lie of Oslo, finally, which is the alleged Muslim recognition of the Jews' right to live free of Islam's humiliating oppression, never happened, and in the foreseeable future, it's never going to happen.
סדר לי סעודתה בצפרה דשבתה ואז מין בהשתה עתיקה קדישה מהורי איש רבה בקידוש הרבה ובחמרתה בה בבטח דנפשה ישדר לנשוף לה ונחזה ביקרה ואיך זה לנסיטרה, להתאמר בלחישה ישדר לנשופרה, ונך זה ביקרה ואיך זה לנסיטרה, להתאמר בלחישה Oh, tiryaske vela min darge veisav batzuge lehavat perisha asader li seudata betzafra de shabata veazmin bahashta atika kadisha
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Some good news today was the raid last night by the IDF into Yatta, an Arab town just south of Hebron, where the force invaded a radio station and walked out with all their equipment, because the station had been rabble-rousing and calling for the knifing of Jews. Ynet reported that in the last month there have been 29 attacks in the Hebron area, all but seven of them with knives, and the IDF sees this radio station playing a role in this. I think officially this station was being shut down temporarily for 6 months, as it has been shut down temporarily in the past, once in 2002 and once in 2008, for broadcasting lies about Jews. Lies about Ishmaelite boys being kidnapped and murdered by Israel's security forces. The station also routinely praises terrorists killed in attempts on Jewish lives. And I say this latest temporary shutdown technique is wrong. It should be permanent. Will the NGOs protest this human rights violation, this squelching of free speech? Of course they will. To which Israel should reply, "We will not tolerate incitement to Jew-killing in our homeland." I would also like to see Israel expel altogether the staffers in this radio station. Again, the world would protest, and Israel would have to stand up and defy the world, saying, "We are under no moral obligation to tolerate these people in our country. These Arabs are not citizens. They're not members of the Jewish nation. They are enemy aliens, not just aliens, but enemy aliens, belonging to a people shamelessly shown to want to destroy our country. We decide who lives here, and we decide that these people got to go." Israel also has to, in keeping with my earlier thought on rethinking the entire Zionist enterprise, rethink how to deal with these savages, think outside the box, and come up with some new way of dealing with this random backstabbing. One idea might be this: to leak to the media a GSS report, according to which intelligence tells us almost all these knife-wielding guys are known homosexual prostitutes who are threatened with exposure if they don't go through with the attack. Psychological warfare is what I'm suggesting, since the entirety of Palestinian nationalism is a form of psychological warfare. It is one gigantic lie, and Israel has the right to leak such a report without conducting such a study, according to which all these knife boys have been blackmailed into this horrible behavior. The enemy glorifies this behavior. Israel must rebrand it into something shameful. And above all, Israel has to jettison the 48-year-old fantasy of parting with some of the remaining spoils of war in exchange for friendly neighborly relations with these Arabs, ruling over what Israel surrenders as an independent state. This is ridiculous. Common sense tells us Israel cannot come down from high ground and allow the enemy to within small arms fire of our only international airport, let alone in the process evict a 500,000 Jews from homes they bought and renovated and improved and made lives for themselves in. Enough already with basically perpetuating the lies and the fantasies of the so-called Oslo process, which brought not peace, but its opposite, hell on earth.
קשוב הלב האוזן קשבת הבא היבוא. בכל ציפייה יש עצב נבוא הבא היבוא. זה מול זה החופים השניים של נחל אחד, צור הגזרה רחוקים לעד. זה מול זה החופים השניים של נחל אחד,
נחל אחד.
הגזרה רחוקים לעד. השניים של נחל אחד, צור הגזרה רחוקים לעד. ברוס כפיים ראו שמה אין בה איש ונבוא לו על ארץ רבה. פרוס כפיים ראו מנגד שמה אין בה. קשוב הלב, האוזן קשבת הבא. היבוא.
Last item, since that Russian plane fell from the sky last week over Sinai, all aboard, not surviving, all the signs point to a bomb planted aboard, probably by ISIS, which claims the deed, which should not surprise and certainly not anger the Russians overly. I mean, what is sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. For decades, the Russians backed the PLO that liked to plant bombs about on planes and blow them out of the sky. Mida keneged mida. Measure for measure. What goes around comes around. Karma. If indeed this is what happened, the Russians have been paid back. Well, I think today saw little or no violence against us, thanks perhaps to the miserable weather, high winds, clouds, thick dust in the air, health warnings over the media about not going outside, and so on and forth. I think it's supposed to last until tomorrow. Well, we shall see. That's it for this Tuesday night, and I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Meretz Yisrael.